something that we sing and we say. And I pray now, O God, that the reality of your Lordship would just flow over us, Father. Would captivate and capture our hearts and our minds. Yes, the truth of the reality of a fact that you are Lord, but then also its beautiful and profound implications, and that the reality of that would dwell within us, O God. That you are our Lord. And I pray that that would bring each and every one of us to just place ourselves into your hands, Father. Just willingly and completely submit and surrender to you, O God. Lord, we pray that as we continue looking at the letter to the churches in Galatia, that the truth that we are saved by faith would be reinforced within us, strengthened within us, God. That we would not try to look at our own goodness or our own holiness or the way we behave or anything as a means of being saved, as a means of coming to you or trying to earn your love, O God, but that we would come to you trusting in Jesus, come to you in faith in Jesus alone, O God. So, O Holy Spirit, would you please be at work now within each and every one of us gathered here, each and every one of us gathered online, O Lord God. We are your church, and we pray to you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So in the first two chapters of the book of Galatians, Paul has been primarily arguing or proclaiming two truths. One is that he is an apostle. Really, really, really an apostle. And that was done by God, not by men. He wasn't elected. He didn't make himself an apostle. God did that. And that's important because that justifies his second point, that the message he preached, the gospel he preached, is a gospel of salvation by faith alone, not by works. Because others, as we said, had come into the churches in Galatia. They kind of came along behind Paul as he went and planted all these churches. And they said, well, it's really great that you believe in Jesus. Congratulations. But to really be saved, you now also must be circumcised. You must now also follow all the dietary laws that we as Jews have put in place. And you must do all these other things. Essentially, you have to become Jewish and believe in Jesus in order to be saved. It was so profoundly affecting and shaking these churches that even when Peter came to visit, he started to slip into that false understanding of the gospel also. And then he started to live that way. He was separating himself from the Gentiles, thinking, oh, they're not real Christians. And so he was dividing the church. And Paul is saying, no way. No. This is a profound heresy to say to be saved you need Jesus and something else. Well, Paul, in our passage this morning, is now going to go and show forth two reasons why, two proofs that show that we are saved by faith alone. He's going to bring them back and show them in their own lives and from the Scriptures that both are in union, experience and the Scriptures, to declare that we are saved by faith alone. This was obviously a very important message for the churches in Galatia, that they're founding at their young stage, to make sure that they are understanding the truth, that they are hoping upon what is true, what is real. It's equally important for us today. We say that so frequently. We are saved by faith. We're saved by God's grace through faith, not by works. And we say that a lot, and that seems so, oh yes, of course, we're saved by faith. Yes, and I'm sure almost all of us could say that if you were to ask a question or given a test You'd say, how am I saved? Is it by my good works? He says, no, it's by faith. But I think in practical life, the way we often live is that God's love is earned by our good works. We can complicate it in our minds by thinking that it's good works that earn us God's favor, that it's our good works that earn us God's blessing, that if we do good works, things will go smoothly in our lives. You ever been in a situation in your life where things are not going well? Maybe your health, maybe your finances, maybe your relationships. Something's not going well. And you start thinking, what have I done, Lord? How have I sinned, Lord, that this is happening to me? What have I failed to do? Am I not praying enough? Am I not going to church enough? Is there some sin in my life? Now, those may be good questions to ask. But if we stay there and the Lord is not revealing any sin within us, you can see how quickly our practical theology can be so distorted when we start believing that the bad things are because of, or the sufferings in life, the challenges in life, are because we haven't done enough good things, or the opposite. Oh, the possibility of such arrogance within us as we look around and see that our blessings and see things going well for us. And we can assume, oh, it's because I've been a good doobie and God's given me a pat on the back. We can easily fall into this false thinking, this twisting of the gospel. So Paul is going to very strongly, again, advocate for the truth, proclaim the truth that we are saved by faith. And he's going to demonstrate that in these two areas of life, personal experience and from the Scriptures. Turn with me, please, to the book of Galatians. Excuse me. Chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3. This morning we will look at verses 1 through 9. Excuse me. We're going to start right away with Paul not being very tactful, not trying to use soft and gentle language here. Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, all the nations will be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. This is God's word. Again, we are saved by faith. I really hope that as we continue to say that, which again is from the Scriptures here in Galatians, those are all across the Scriptures, but those exact kind of words there, also seen in Ephesians chapter 2, I hope that they don't lose their power. That's some of the danger in kind of talking in our religious language, some of these religious words, these common words that are so powerful they can, we hear them so often, we can kind of lose the meaning of them. So Paul is going to go on to show, to prove that we are truly saved by faith. First, in verses 1 through 5, he shows from experience that we are saved by faith, and really talking to the Galatians, that they were saved by faith. He goes through and says, how did you receive the Holy Spirit? How did you first become Christians? How were you born again? What did it? Look back, Galatians. Excuse me. Look back on when you were born again. How did that happen? Was it because you studied the law and you worked really hard to keep the Ten Commandments and you did it? You got it? You did it for long enough that you got it, and God said, oh, you've been doing so well, you're so holy, you're such a good person, you've never done anything wrong, therefore, come on into the family. Here, have the Holy Spirit to dwell within you, be born again. No, that's not how they became Christians. That's not how Paul became a Christian. That's not how anyone has ever or will ever become a Christian. Instead, it was when they heard the gospel, they believed. They trusted in Jesus Christ for their salvation. Paul says, when I came to you, I presented to you Christ crucified. I portrayed Him before your life, before your very eyes, and in your hearing. I lived the life of Christ crucified. I spoke of Christ crucified. Yes, it is amazing and central to who Jesus is, that He was born a baby in a manger. It is essential to who He is that He lived a sin-free life and showed us the Father. But it was the cross at His death, where He paid for our sin, which is why faith in Jesus and not faith in anything else saves us. Because of who Jesus is, and what He did in dying for us on the cross, paying for our sins, so that when we hope in Him, we are born again. So Paul's reminding the Galatians of how they were saved. What it was that brought them from death to life. And he's saying, since you were saved by faith, are you now trying to live your life by works? Are you trying to maintain your relationship with God through works instead of by faith? I know we tend to think about a moment when we were born again, right? We tend to think of well, I have to trust Jesus, and that's a moment in time. And it is and can be, though many, many Christians don't know the exact moment when they started believing, when they were born again, when it occurred. But the call of the gospel isn't to do one thing and then be done. Believing isn't a point in time. Believing in Jesus, trusting in Jesus, is for the rest of our lives. Yes, we are born again by faith in Christ, but we live by faith in Christ. And we're sanctified by grace and, by faith in Christ. We walk every moment of every day through faith in Jesus Christ as the One who died and rose again on our behalf. We live by the Spirit. We are born again by the Spirit. And He's calling them back to that. So let me ask you, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died on the cross to pay for your sins? Do you have your faith in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation? Can you remember a time when you first trusted Christ? Maybe not. Again, for some, there was a moment, like we talk about Paul, this kind of the Damascus Road experience. For the vast majority of Christians, there wasn't a moment. Either you grew up in a family of faith, and just at some point owned the faith yourself and trusted in Christ yourself, and you can't really remember when that happened. For others, it could have been a different kind of process that was a journey that took time, and one point in your life you look back 10 years ago and you knew you really didn't believe, or maybe you really didn't care. And now you can look at your life and say, well, now I love the Lord. But think about it for a moment. Just because we come to church or we grew up in a church doesn't necessarily mean that we're trusting in Jesus for our salvation. Those are wonderful things to do, to be part of a church and have your, kind of worship together as an outflow of our faith in Christ, of course. But I want us to just pause and think. I would pray and ask and hope, ask the Lord to put it in each one of our hearts to care, to desire to be born again. Life is hard, yes, but it is interesting, for compared to much of the world and much of the history of the world, we got pretty good lives. I've been listening to a number of history podcasts and just listening to different things and different events and rulers, all throughout the 1100s and 1200 AD, all up to 1500 AD and stuff, and just listening to and kind of getting a sense of what life was like. Oh my word. I can't even imagine how difficult it was in the Dark Ages. Right? Pretty good. And so when life's pretty good, sometimes it can be hard to feel a need, a sense of, wow, there's something missing in my life. It's a sense of I need a Savior. So it's my prayer, even now, that God would work within each one of us, that we would see and know our need of Jesus, and that we would look at Jesus on the cross. He's there because of my sin. And that we would trust Him for salvation. He's reminding them that they were born again through faith, not by works. Secondly, he goes on to say, we are saved by faith, and the proof is, yes, your experience, which is real, but there's also proof from the Scriptures that we are saved by faith. I love that Paul brings up both of these things as proof, as evidence for the truth of the gospel, that we're saved by faith alone. Our experiences are so important. Excuse me. Right? They're kind of central to everything about us, and what we experience is all we can really speak to in one way. But also our experiences can be confusing, and we can misunderstand our experiences. And so we must always found our beliefs upon the truth of the Word of God, which is where Paul goes now. In verses 6 through 9, he points to Abraham. He goes back to Father Abraham, right? Which the Judaizers who came to the Galatian churches and were messing them all up probably would have pointed to also and said, oh, well, you need to be a child of Abraham to really be born again, to really be a Christian. And Paul says, yeah, that's right, but you're messing it all up. You're not listening or reading your Scriptures clearly enough to see how Abraham was, to use our New Testament language, born again. This goes back to Genesis chapter 12. God had called Abraham to leave his city, to leave his home, and to go where he said. And Abraham said, okay. And he went, and he followed God as God led him. And then in Genesis chapter 12, God calls to Abraham. His name is Abram at that point. And says to him, Abraham, I know you're old, and I know you have no children, way beyond childbearing years, but I want, come on out of the tent. Come out of the tent. It's nighttime, I know, I'm waking you up. I'm paraphrasing a little here. Okay. This isn't actually a quote from the ESV or anything. Come on out of your tent, Abraham, and I want you to look up at the sky. You see those stars? And of course, there was a lot less light pollution back then, probably, so you could probably see a lot of stars. So you see all the stars? I'm going to make your descendants more numerous than the stars. And Abraham, instead of saying, God, you're crazy. There's no possible way that can happen. Instead, it says, Genesis 12, verse 6, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Let's put that sentence from Scripture into our New Testament language. Abraham believed God, faith, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Born again. His faith made him righteous. His faith made him a believer in Jesus. Not in Jesus. He didn't understand Jesus at the time. But he believed God. And God took that faith and saved him through it. God made promises. God didn't say to Abraham, all right, here's how you're going to be righteous. I'm going to give you a list. I'll tell you, I'll make it easy. I'll give you a top 10 list. He didn't say, I want you to be circumcised. This is part of what's wonderful about chapter 12. God doesn't give circumcision until later, after this. Abraham wasn't circumcised when this happened. He didn't have the law. Right? He didn't have the Ten Commandments. That's Moses. That's afterwards. Right? That's why we always... Oh, I can't move over there because of the camera. Oh well, that's why we always talk about timeline, right? How important the timeline is to understand our scriptures, right? It's really important for us to know, to put in order Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, David, to put those Old Testament people in timeline order is so important. Abraham comes first. The law with Moses comes later. So all this talking about Abraham being made righteous, he's not circumcised. He's not following the law. In fact, what God said to him was, I'll make your descendants as numerous as the stars if. He never said if. There's no if then. If you do this, I'll do that. Now we do see that to Moses and the nation of Israel. Right? When God talks to the nation of Israel, He says, if you keep my commandments, you will enter the land. You will have a land flowing with milk and honey. Your crops will grow wonderfully. Your sheep will reproduce wonderfully. You'll have many, many children. Your enemies won't attack you. Plagues won't come at you. There's all these blessings that are contingent, dependent upon obedience. Because the covenant with Moses, the relationship with Moses and Israel, is a temporary thing that exists within God's great act of how He's relating to His people, which is through salvation by God's grace through faith in our Savior Jesus Christ. And so He makes promises to Abraham, and Abraham believes Him. And from that, God then makes more promises. And one of those promises to Abraham is, yes, you'll have many descendants, but through you, and there's other promises there, some of which are part of His relationship with the nation of Israel, about those land promises that He makes to Abraham, but also descendants as numerous as the stars, and through you, I will bless all nations. Not just Israel. Yes, Israel. Yes. But not just Israel. All nations. Which Paul is reminding them of again here. So it's saying, Gentiles too. You don't have to become Jewish in order to be born again. Because God made a promise to Abraham that all nations, people from all nations, could be born again. And it wasn't through obeying these laws. It was through faith in their Savior, Jesus Christ. The law is essential. The law reveals to us who God is. The law shows us that we are sinful. As Jesus in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, as He explains and teaches us the Ten Commandments, right? It's saying, yeah, you know, you've heard don't murder, but I say don't be angry with your brother or sister. What? Heard it say don't commit adultery. I say don't look lustfully at another person. What? Lord, I can't keep the top 10 when you explain them that way. What am I going to do? How am I going to be righteous? Believe in Jesus Christ. Trust in Jesus Christ. And so Paul is showing the Galatians and us two proofs demonstrating the truth of the gospel, which is we are saved, we are born again, our sins are forgiven, we're brought into God's family, we are adopted as His children, when by God's grace, we trust in Jesus, we believe in Jesus. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for our sins. We really have sinned against God. Really have. And Jesus Christ was crucified on our behalf. What do? Believe. 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 Let's pray. Father God, I thank You that even though we had sinned against You in ways we don't even understand, ways we can't even see, You and Your great love for us sent Jesus to die on the cross as a payment, as atonement for our sins. That all of us and any of us who trust in You, Lord Jesus, who believe in You, Lord Jesus, are saved. This is by Your grace, not by our works. So I pray, O Lord God, You would awaken us, each and every one of us, that we would believe in You, O Lord God, and be born again. That we would live our lives as born again women and men by faith, and thus be empowered to do Your good works. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.